Welcome, listeners, to another episode of the No Limit Football Podcast. I'm your host, Sana Stats, taking over from Abu Samra. Today, I have a very special guest. Simple Gents, how are you, my man?
Not too bad. How are you doing?
I'm not bad. You know what? I've been trying to get you in this podcast for a very, very long time. You know that?
Yeah, I've been listening for a very long time. Very good podcast, to be honest with you. Very good chemistry between you, Abu Samra, and Doc, when he's on.
I appreciate
each of you offer something unique. Like you offer the objective stats. Abu Samra is the host, and when Thibaut comes on, he provides personal perspective.
I appreciate it, man. It's an absolute pleasure to have you today to reminisce about the 2002 World Cup. I mean, talk to me about the lead up to the World Cup 2002. You know, we were at school at that time. Do you remember?
100%. Lead up to the 2000 World Cup really starts in the year 2000, if you think about it, because France came in as the champions of the world and the champions of Europe.
Yes.
And at that point, the murmurs around football at that time was, are they going to be like the second coming of the Golden Brazil team of the 60s or 70s, repelling them guys? Or is this it? Just two tournaments and it will fall off, just a flash in the pan. And from my point of view, I was the second to school, like you just pointed out, and we were discussing France. Are France going to do it again? Is Zidane going to run this tournament the way he ran Euro 2000? Is Henri going to show up, like really show up in this tournament? Because usually Henri didn't show up that much.
Yeah.
Or would Argentina, who are the favourites, or Brazil interrupt? And that was a discussion.
You know what? You know how much I hated France that time? I hated them so much to what they did to Brazil in 98. And do you remember Ronaldo was out for like 4 years? Do you remember his injury?
Not four whole years, but the most part of it, yeah.
Yeah, most of part of it. But I mean, I hated France. They were winning everything. They were winning the Confederation Cup in 2001. They won the Euros, like you said, against Italy. A great Italian side, by the way. The team that had Del Piero, Totti, Maldini, Nesta, Cannavaro, Buffon. I think Toldo was the goalkeeper in Euro 2000. Am I right?
Yeah, Toldo was there.
Yeah, Toldo. I mean, a great, great team. But they managed to beat them in golden goal. Do you remember against Trezeguet goal in Europe?
You know what made that scary was that you could tell during the game and after Viltor equalised that they knew even 3-4 minutes left, they're not out of it.
Wow.
That's scary. When you just know even 3-4 minutes left at basically the biggest stage in the world, no problem. We're still in it.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. During that time, you know, 4 years after Brazil lost the final, a lot of the Brazilian team is not the same.
Yeah.
And despite facing struggles and changes in their lineup, players like Leonardo retired, people like Dunga retired. I think even Romario was in and out.
Yeah, it was basically blacklisted.
Yeah. But do you remember actually coming back to Romario? I remembered one thing. In his last two games, competitive game for Brazil, he scored two hat-tricks in the qualifiers.
Yeah, Romario for Brazil is kind of like Clark Kent, Superman. He does this a lot for them.
Yes.
Like, the cycle's all the same. He's too good. It's that thing where you can't live or you can't live without. He'll play, he's the best. But his personality behind the scenes will cause issues for management. Yeah. Then he won't get in. Then they need him to bring him back. And when Ronaldo gone now, and the weight of that number 9 Brazilian shirt being very, very heavy.
Yeah.
Elber, Jardim, these sort of guys who usually be the best in any other nation, they got stage fright. And surprise, surprise, they were on the verge of missing qualification, they turned to Romario.
Wow. And he was 38 years old at that time, or 37?
Yeah, I think 37, yeah.
37. There was rumours that he was going to go to the World Cup. Am I right?
Yeah, he had a very good, I think it was like 70 goals in that season. And they had placards outside the Brazilian FA protesting for him to come back.
Yeah, that's mad. Because you know what I remember, Simple Gent? Brazil, in the World Cup qualifier, they lost to Chile 3-0. Yeah?
Okay.
Then Scolari called him up. He plays against Bolivia. They win 5-0. He scores a hat-trick.
Yeah.
Then he plays the next game against Venezuela, and he scores a hat-trick again. And he doesn't get called up ever. He doesn't even get called up again.
You know what I think I heard? I don't know how true this is. I heard a rumor that him and Scolari once again had issues in the back.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the rumors are true. There was something about Romario maybe faking injury to miss a match or something like that. That upset Scolari.
Okay.
And Scolari is a very serious manager. He wants like serious mentality around the team.
Do you remember Argentina in that qualifier? How scary they were.
Yeah, their team was stacked. Just look at their strikers: Batistuta, Hernan Crespo, Claudio Lopez, Ari Ortega. In their midfield, they've got Veron, they've got Aymar, a young recruitmate, Veron, Diego Simeone, Almeida, Gallardo, Kylian Gonzalez, Gustavo Lopez. This was the most stacked team.
Man, you're giving me goosebumps. I remember that team very, very well. Wow, what a team. Almeida was in that team as well, right?
Yeah, Almeida was there, yeah.
And Veron, oh my goodness me. I mean, that Argentinian team, I thought they were the favourite. You know, I have an interesting story to tell you. I actually made a £1 bet with one of my friends in school.
It was, what was the bet?
Argentina versus England. I said to him, I guarantee you Argentina will win. He betted on England to win. And guess what, man? Ever since that day, I stopped betting. And you know what? I didn't give him that pound, to be honest. I was so angry that they won England. It was a David Beckham penalty.
Yeah, it had to be.
I mean, what a story. What a redemption against Argentina, wasn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
But tell me about David Beckham. I mean, wow. We all know that he has a world-class mentality. He works hard, and we never doubted his hard-working ability, crossing ability, shooting ability. I mean, do you remember before the World Cup, what happened to him in terms of injuries? I mean, he was about not to make it, wasn't he? He wasn't about to make it, wasn't he?
Yeah, picked up an injury, I think, it's Deportivo in the Champions League, metatarsal, I think it was.
Yeah.
Just for the weeks, maybe the months leading up to the World Cup, all of the newspapers, all you see, his foot plastered, all the newspaper. Is Beckham going to make it? Do we have hope about Beckham? Beckham this, Beckham that. But typical, true to his nature, he fought his way back to the team. Never gave up.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to ask you something. Let's move on to the actual World Cup.
Okay.
Tell me about the opening match between Senegal versus France. What do you remember? And where do you think you were at that time?
I actually didn't see the whole match because, you know, back then, my teenage years, my social life was going on very strong. So I was playing football with my friends.
Mm.
But I rushed home to get like, maybe, I don't know, let's say 40th minute, something like that.
Yeah.
Or 50, 60 minutes, somewhere in the match. And what I noticed, there's no Zidane.
Yes.
That's true, that's straight. Where's Zidane? And one thing with Zidane, France, without Zidane. Yeah, without Zidane, France, they don't breathe. Yeah. Simple as that. And I just remember Henri and them guys hitting the post a lot. You will see they hit the post. Henri hits the post. There's a lot of post hitting.
Yes.
And I was not only because Brazil was my team, I was actually winning on Senegal to win because it's an underdog story.
Yeah.
I didn't think they would win because France always came back and they actually won, surprised everybody.
Yeah, I remember that game. Do you know what that game reminded me of? It reminded me of World Cup 1990, Cameroon versus Argentina. Argentina were the champions and Cameroon were the underdogs and they won 1-0. It was a similar story.
Yeah, it was 100%.
Yeah. I mean, look, talk to me about your favorite match in the group stages, if you remember any group stages matches.
Favorite match in the group stage would be Brazil Turkey.
Wow. Why is that?
Brazil is my team, number one. Number two, like we just touched on just a few minutes ago, alluded to, that Brazil weren't that good in 2001 or 2000.
Yeah.
They were very bad. It was abysmal. They actually almost missed out.
Yes, I remember that.
And Ronaldo did play like a handful of games for the World Cup, but because I didn't pay attention to Brazil, I didn't realize this. Mm. So all I saw is Ronaldo, after years injured, he's back out of the blue.
Yes.
So I wanted to see Ronaldo does well in this World Cup when he's injured.
Yeah.
And him and Ronaldo still had the same chemistry. Ronaldo scored the goal. Ronaldo scored the other goal. Or was it Ronaldo did your penalty? I think it was a penalty.
Yes.
Someone's penalty. And
do you remember the Rivaldo incident?
Yeah, that was you know, that's actually done. That's taken away from his greatness. People bring that up forever now.
You know what, man? I mean, if VAR was around, he would have got a red card.
Yeah, and the Brazil might not qualify then. Yeah. Might not win.
No, they would have probably finished with 6 points. No, they would still win the match. But the problem is the antics that he did.
He's become a meme now. To this very day, I see it on Twitter.
Sorry, say that again?
He's become a meme now. I see that on Twitter a lot.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a meme now.
Yeah. Look, I want to talk to you about Argentina. Why did they fail at the World Cup? I mean, look, qualifiers, they were flying. They finished top of their group. They finished 13 points ahead of second place Ecuador.
Yeah.
Why did they get out in the group stages? I mean, England, Sweden, Nigeria, they started off well. They beat Nigeria.
Yeah.
So what happened there?
You know what? I'm going to say, I'm going to give like an atypical answer. I'm not going to give the usual ones.
Yes.
It might be controversial. I'm just going to speak my mind there.
Mm.
I'm not coming professional. I'm just speaking personally. In my opinion, Argentina in general, throughout their history, always had what I like to call savior's mentality.
Yes.
Where they like to believe in that one superhero that will save them instead of thinking of the team collective.
Yes.
And if you go way back to Omar Savory in the 1930s, 40s, they always depended on him. Maradona, and to be fair, he did carry them on his shoulders. They depended on him solely. And even recently, they always depended on Messi. And for some reason, they just have a problem if they don't have that one standout superhero.
Okay.
No matter how good they are as a team, if they don't have the one standout best in the world, they have issues. The other issue is Bielsa.
Yeah.
I actually think Bielsa is a good tactician, but I just don't think he's a winner. He's not too different to Arsene Wenger in the last 10 years.
Okay.
Great mind, speaks well, but doesn't know how to win trophies. And really, what I'm trying to say, Argentina had a mentality problem.
He's the manager that managed Atletico Bilbao and Chile in World Cup 2010, am I right?
I believe he did, yeah.
Yeah, I remember him against Atletico Bilbao when he was the manager of Atletico Bilbao. They played Manchester United and he outplayed Manchester United in the UEFA Cup.
And what was the result at the end?
I think it was 1-0. He was the manager of Leeds as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's
him. Yeah, that's him, that's him. Okay, another favourite, Italy.
Yeah.
I mean, they struggled in the group stages. They have a phenomenal team, another team that had a better team than Germany, who went far, a better team than England. Probably you can say they had a better team than Brazil in 2002. In terms of
on paper,
from goalkeeper all the way to, of course, in terms of strikers, none of them compared to Ronaldo or Ronaldinho or Rivaldo. But in terms of the whole squad in general, they had a very, very good squad.
Yeah, correct.
So what do you remember about them in 2002?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Crypto Unplugged.
Hey, listeners, I'm Dr. Crypto, also known as Doc, the host of the Crypto Unplugged podcast. Crypto Unplugged is a weekly podcast where me and my co-host Oz give our opinions on the crypto space. We've been involved in crypto for many years, so we have a wealth of knowledge and expertise to share with new and seasoned folks. Our podcast is unplugged, meaning that we're honest and revealing about our personal highs and lows of our crypto journey. We've also interviewed a range of special guests from up-and-coming projects to experienced crypto personalities, and our goal is to bring the most up-to-date and relevant information to our community of listeners. So if you're interested in learning more about crypto, or if you just want to hear about two guys talk about their love of crypto and their views, then be sure to check out Crypto Unplugged. We're available on all major podcast platforms.
Crypto Unplugged.
Well, firstly, Vieri was back after missing Euro 2000. That was important.
Yes.
And you know Vieri, how clinical he was. He was deadly. And he proved it by scoring 4-4. And in the World Cup 98, he had 5-5. That's a deadly killer.
Yeah, that's nine goals. Nine World Cup goals.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. And just like in any World Cup with Italy back then, because they had so much good players from the back line to the goalkeeper, to the midfield. I thought they'd go far. Very, very far, in fact.
Yeah. Shall I tell you a fact about Italy?
Yeah.
They only had two goal scorers. Vieri scored 4 goals, Del Piero scored 1.
Really? That's it?
Nobody else scored.
Unbelievable. That's unbecoming of just to get to the final Euro 2000 and end up like this in 2002.
Yeah, they are bipolar team, in my opinion, because Euro 2000, they go to the final, 2002, they go second, they finish, they go out in the second round, last 16. Then Euro 2004, they're out in the group stages. Then 2006 World Cup, they world champions. I mean, you never know what you get with the Italians.
That's what they like. They can learn something from the Germans in that mentality. Mm. The Germans can teach them in that consistency in mentality.
Yeah.
You can't be where you do all this manager and then flop the next 2 years later.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know how Germany does it, you know. I mean, they only had two world-class players in their team. Oliver Kahn and Ballack.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a saying, never underestimate the Germans. You know, regardless of their team, they always compete strongly. They managed to reach the final, you know, finals, semi-finals, even with players like Oliver Neuville, I think they didn't have Sebastian Deisler. Sebastian Deisler was a good player.
Deisler, let me show you a lot of them. Some of them missed the World Cup.
Yeah, they missed the World Cup. I think they had Oliver Bierhoff. I mean, how do they always manage to do it, simple gents?
You know what? It's just their mindset that carries over for all for the generations. And it actually comes from, I think, German society in general.
Okay.
Germans, they seem to be a very functional people. And in football, their mindset is about, let's just do what under pressure. Let's control pressure. I said, let pressure control us.
Yes.
And that's actually the more refined version of English passion. English have this mentality of, we're going to fight for the badge, we're going to die on the pitch. But that has the opposite effect because it actually brings indirectly nerves to your system because you're, don't lose, don't give up. Well, they're just calm.
Yes.
Just do what you're supposed to do. If it's 85th minute, don't worry. Just continue. Keep knocking the door. The door open eventually. And that composure that they have, it doesn't matter who the players are, it's the same Germany.
Yeah, that's 100%. 100%. You know, Germany was my favorite European team. You know that already.
Yeah. Even in FIFA.
You remember that time when I used to play them on FIFA, Jürgen Klinsmann and Oliver Bierhoff, scoring headers for fun.
Yeah.
I remember them times. Good times, man.
Very good times.
Yeah. I mean, look, man, let's move on now. We spoke about Germany. Miroslav Klose. I mean, I mean, he's a top scorer. He's a World Cup all-time top scorer. Yeah. So Germany comes on, plays their first game against Saudi Arabia. They win 8-0.
Correct.
Yeah. Talk to me about Germany in that World Cup.
Germany in that World Cup became a very depleted squad. And I actually, believe it or not, everything I just said to you, I actually read them off.
Okay.
No way would these players missing.
And do you remember in the qualifier, World Cup qualifier, they lost to England 5-1?
Yeah, Michael Owen scored 3, if I'm not wrong.
Hat-trick and Gerrard, I believe, and Scholes.
Yeah.
So do you remember, like, them coming to the tournament, they were written off already?
Yep.
But I think they had an easy route to the World Cup final. They played Paraguay. They played the USA. I don't want to say South Korea were easy, but South Korea. That's like what England had in World Cup 2018, to be honest.
Yeah, but there's one thing with Germany. They will still find a way through, even if they're good teams, I believe. It's just the mentality more than anything.
Yes.
Never die spirit. And they've got, in Khan, they had the keeper of the tournament. In Ballack, they had the informed player in world football in general.
Mm.
In Klose, they had a guy who just is a goal machine if you put him the ball right on the plate for him. So they had a good like spine of the team.
Okay. And let's talk about Brazil, you know. Ronaldo, before the World Cup, he was injured for 2.5 years, you know, on and off. He had that scary injury versus last year, where he tried to do a step over and nobody touched him, and he fell on the floor. And you remember the newspaper? You remember how they showed his knee? How bad?
Yeah,
that ACL. It was an ACL, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. How bad that injury was. You thought his career was over, me and you are nine fans, and how we felt that he might not come back, and you know that's the reason why we loved football, was because of R9. So to come back in World Cup 2002, how was your feeling there?
I was happy, of course. Happy to see him back. But I was a bit doubtful. Is he really? Because I didn't know, like I said earlier on, he did play a handful of games that year for Inter Milan. But even them handful of games, he would have like, he'd play one game and if he get injured again for 3 days, play again, get injured again for 1 week. Even through his comeback, it was on and off injury play. But I didn't know this. I just thought he didn't play at all. So I was wondering, is he really going to do anything? Is he meant to be on the pitch? So I was watching him carefully and I noticed as soon as the game started, I could already see that he's not going to do a lot of skills in the World Cup.
Yeah.
He's going to focus on goal scoring.
He was more of a poacher.
And you can say, okay, so I realise that's what he's going to do. He's going to play here without exerting himself too much. Rivaldo and Ardino will do all the work in that sense. But Carlos Takaki on the side and he'll just be a goal poacher.
Yeah. Who was the players that we never knew before World Cup 2002 that were the outstanding players?
Unknown players?
It doesn't have to be unknown, but someone like outstanding, someone like people knew that he had potential maybe, but didn't know him until they watched the World Cup.
Well, I don't know how outstanding he was, but in terms of being good, Gilberto Silva was quite good.
Okay.
I never heard of him at all. When I saw Teletext before the World Cup, the squads, I was actually appalled. Like, who's this Gilberto Silva guy? But he proved me wrong. Lucio had one good year at Leverkusen, but that's only 1 year.
Yeah, he scored in the Champions League final for Leverkusen against Real Madrid.
Yeah, but I still didn't think that. Is he ready for the World Cup? Like straight away, after one good year in form, but he proved me wrong. For Japan, he wasn't that top level, to be honest with you, but relative to his level, Inamoto, my club, Arsenal.
Oh, yes. Inamoto was a good player in that World Cup, I remember.
Yeah, he was quite good. I was like, wow, this guy's good. Alhaji Diouf actually ended up getting to Liverpool because of that World Cup.
Yes, I remember that as well. Yeah, Alhaji Diouf was playing on the left-hand side. He was actually a good player for Senegal. He served Senegal very well.
Very good.
Yeah.
I get even Balak, I only knew for 1 year, that year.
Yeah, me too. I knew him. He was a top player. I mean, for Liverpool. Yeah, and then I think he moved to Bayern Munich after that. Zeroberto was already in Bayern Munich, wasn't he?
I'm not sure when he moved, but they both were there at one point, yeah.
Yeah. So, talk to me about the dark horses. You know, who were the dark horses in that World Cup?
Well, going into the World Cup, the dark horses people thought would be, let's see. Dark horses with the World Cup.
Who surprised you at the World Cup?
Oh, South Korea, right now.
South Korea. Do you know who was their manager? Do you remember who the manager was?
South Korea, no, I don't.
Gus Huddings.
Oh, yes. He was, Gus Huddings.
Yeah, Gus Huddings. Soo Yong Park came in. That's how we found out about Soo Yong Park.
Yeah, Soo Yong Park.
They were a very energetic team, but they were lucky against Italy and Spain.
And a bit of good refereeing, the decisions were in their favour as well, to be honest. Yeah.
I think there was an offside, there was a goal that counted as offside for Italy, in the Italian game.
Yeah.
And do you remember the player that scored against Italy, the winning goal?
I remember the goal he led above Maldini from his injury time. Is his name Son? No.
Yeah, Anhuan, he played for Perugia.
Oh, yeah, man, yeah.
They wanted to cancel his contract after that. Can you believe that?
I did hear that, yeah. Well, I actually remember that one, yeah.
But to be honest, he did face some racism before that.
Italy before that?
Yeah, he faced some racism in Italy. And I think they were just bitter and they wanted to cancel his contract anyway because he knocked Italy out. And you know the funny thing is? Perugia said we'll never sign an Asian player again. they're crazy. I would like to move on. This is a team that was known as a failure in international football at that time, Spain.
Yeah,
they had a great team. They had a great team. You know, they had Hierro at that time. Casillas was playing for them. Raul, Morientes. These guys all came back. They came into the World Cup as European champions for Real Madrid. So they went to Champions League. Why at that time Spain was a failure in international tournaments?
it's more than one thing, but I'll say one of it is, again, mentality. Because if you remember, you in 2000, Raul had a penalty.
Yes.
To train, turn the tide against France.
Yep.
All he had to do was score it, really. Yes. And he got stage five and missed.
Yeah.
Raul underperformed the World Cup 90. He only scored 1 in 3.
Okay.
He flopped. And Raul just saw a guy.
Yeah.
The other reason why these guys might have not done as well was, honestly, one of the reasons is all the other teams were stacked as well. To be honest with you, Holland was stacked top players in that period in general. Brazil was stacked top players in general in that period. They never had like a star number 10, like a magician like a Zidane or Raul in the midfield or anything like that.
Okay. Makes sense. Makes sense. I think they also had this problem as well, internal problem, because Spain is divided into Spain and Catalan and other regions. You know, some of them didn't feel Spanish.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. That's
yeah. To what I remember, and also not a lot of Spanish fans used to follow the Spanish national team.
What did they follow? They didn't watch their matches.
I mean, no, they didn't go like to international tournaments. So, for example, they don't travel like the England fans or the Argentinian fans.
Okay, yeah. I get it. Their support's not heard.
Yeah, that's a problem with them. Okay, now let's move on to the quarterfinals. What do you remember about the quarterfinal? I mean, aside from the Brazil-England match.
Quarterfinals. Korea versus Spain.
Oof. Morientes scored a legit goal that time.
Yeah, and it's at that point I started to feel like this is done on purpose now.
Yeah.
Later in the game, okay, I thought whatever, it's a one-off game. Yeah, it can happen. After that game, the penalty shootout, I think it was.
Yes.
And just the way that, I think the keeper come off his line or something. I'm not wrong.
I don't remember, but all I remember is that I think Joaquin, he crossed the ball in. The ball was on the line. Morientes scores a header. And then somehow the referee disallows it.
Yeah, it felt like it was done on purpose, honestly. Like they wanted them to progress. Because it was them and Japan as a home team. So they wanted them to do something.
Yeah, but what happened was Japan went to the last 16. They got knocked out in the last 16. Korea went all the way. And the funny thing is, coming to the tournament, Japan were the Asian champions.
Well, were they? Okay.
They were the Asian champions. South Korea made it into the semi-final of the Asian Cup. Do you know who they lost to?
Saudi Arabia?
So they lost to Saudi Arabia, a team that lost. don't remind me, man. You know I'm a fan of Saudi Arabia. And I remember that time when they played Germany and the last 8-0. I was actually shocked.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness me. You know what? A lot of teams did well at the World Cup apart from Saudi Arabia. And I remember Saudi Arabia, they played a friendly against Uruguay. And they beat Uruguay 3-2.
Really? And from 3-2 to 8-0?
3-2 to 8-0. I don't know what happened.
And they did in 98 World Cup. Am I wrong? They did quite well in 98 World Cup.
No, they did well in the 94 World Cup. They went to the last 16.
And Aurier scored that solo goal. Right?
That solo goal, yeah. Aleweran scored that solo goal. It was a classic.
What happened? Saudi Arabia is the opposite of Germany. Germany have consistent success for the mentality. Saudi, they'll do something one World Cup, do nothing for 2 World Cup, do something another World Cup. They're the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, Saudi Arabia's golden era was from 94 to 98. I mean, their greatest achievement came recently, now beating Argentina 2-1. But to be honest, they went out against, they lost against Poland and Mexico. So what use is that?
Yeah. Sami Jabir there?
Yeah, Sami Jabir was in the World Cup 2002. He got injured after the first game.
What about Al-Tilal?
Al-Timiat, you mean?
No, I don't know if it was a right back named Al-Tilal. Is that his name?
No, the right back was Ad-Duhi at that time. A player called Ahmed Ad-Duhi.
Oh, Ad-Duhi.
You might mean Athnayan on Timiat. Timiat was a midfielder. He was meant to be the star boy, but he did nothing in that World Cup. Saudi Arabia didn't score a single goal in that World Cup. You know who else didn't score a single goal in that World Cup?
Let me guess. Let's see. Nigeria.
No, Nigeria scored against, I think against Sweden they scored. Or they drew against Sweden. It's France.
Oh, France, of course.
France, they lost to Senegal. They lost to Denmark and they drew to Uruguay. By that time, it was too late. I mean,
my God.
Yeah, they were the worst defending champions at that time. Can you believe that?
Has anyone surpassed that? Anything worse?
I think a lot of teams after that, like Italy went out in the group stages, Spain went out in the group stages. A lot of European teams went out in the group stages.
But did they not score any, like France?
No, I think the other team scored, but it's only France that didn't score.
You know, as well, another thing people forget, that Robert Pires missed that World Cup when he was like on form as well that year.
Yeah, he was on form, wasn't he?
And he missed that World Cup.
Yeah. I mean, let's move on to the quarterfinals now. The classic game, Brazil versus England.
Yep.
Yeah. Talk to me about that game, man. I mean, I was at home. I remember that. Let me tell you a story about that, actually. We had a half day because, you know, Japan and Korea's time difference to the UK at that time was, I don't know, like if they had 12 o'clock in the night, like it was morning. A lot of these games were in the morning, if you remember.
Yeah. Yep.
And we had a half a day.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was England versus Brazil. I was at home watching it with my family. You know, it was a school day, but we had a half day. It was a half day that day because of the match. It was a very important match. Tell me about that game, man. Where were you and your analysts on that game?
I was at home. And obviously, Brazil is my team, but England's the country I live in. So this is the main match for me now. This is serious. Again, we just... I want to see what the Triple R's do against England's like solid defence. So Campbell, Rio Ferdinand, Ashley Cole, David Seaman, and even Danny Mills is actually pretty solid in that World Cup, yes. The right back.
Yeah.
I just remember Michael Owen scored early, lose to a mistake.
Mm.
And then when I didn't just took the game by the scruff of the neck, said, I'm going to win this game for him. That was his coming of age.
That assist for Rivaldo and that left foot, the way he curled it in, he had Seaman fully stretched right there.
10 out of 10 goal. 10 out of 10 pass, 10 out of 10 finish.
What a goal. But Michael Owen scored the first goal. It was a long ball, typical English. Long ball, he controlled it, then typical Michael Owen finish.
Yep.
But the way Ronaldinho made the twist and turned Sol Campbell was amazing.
Yeah, that was the day when Ronaldinho started to really become like from a boy to a man. That's when he turned from a boy to a man.
Yeah, and do you remember, let me tell you something. England at that time, before that game, they only conceded one goal.
Well, only one goal before that?
Only one goal before that.
Let me try to guess who was against. I might remember this. One goal. Oh, Sweden.
Sweden, yeah. They drew 1-1 against Sweden.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And they drew against Nigeria. They only beat Argentina in that.
Nigeria was 0-0.
Yeah, Nigeria was 0-0 and 1-0 against Argentina. David Beckham penalty.
So it was England and Sweden that went through, if I'm not wrong.
Okay. Let me ask you another question.
Yeah.
Ronaldinho's goal against England, was it a fluke?
You know what? Let me just... It's a very tricky question because when you ask this sort of question, number one, you have to figure in who this person is. It's Ronaldinho, for God's sakes, first and foremost. Everyone knows he's the guy that can do the impossible.
Of course.
But you have to also feature in a bit of that reality into a bit of common sense. This is the World Cup quarterfinals. And Brazil, but I don't know what minute it was, like, maybe like 60 minutes, was it? 70, 50 something?
Yeah.
And you want to win this game. Because it's in the group stage. You either win, or you're out.
Yeah.
Would you take the risk of taking a shot from there when you can just cross the ball? And that's where it becomes 50-50.
Yeah.
Most times they know you're not going to take it from there.
Yeah.
But it is Ronaldinho. And David Seaman, people forget, does have a weakness of getting lobbed.
Yes. And he was out of his line as well.
He's off his line. So... it's 50-50. Anybody else, I say no. It's a fluke. Since it's Ronaldinho, I say 50-50.
Okay. I mean, let me talk about another dark horse, if you remember them. I mean, this team had a lot of great players. They had... it's Turkey. They had... They had Hasan Sas, Hakan Suker, Tugay, Alpe, Emre, you know, this is a team that some of these players played for Galatasaray. If you remember Galatasaray.
Yeah.
I'm talking about UEFA Cup 2000, the final against Arsenal. So they had some, they had their golden generation in a way where now, were they really a surprise to go for Turkey to go to the semi-final of the World Cup? With those players, I mean, I'm talking, those players that they have that I'm talking about.
Hindsight's 2020. Now it's not when we look back. But at that time, we didn't know these guys were that good.
Okay.
So we shouldn't have been surprised, no, because they just, like you said, they did show up. They did destroy Arsenal.
Yes.
And they showed us what they've got. Hakan Şükür is fairly known about in Europe because he's playing with Inter Milan. Like, we should have expected more from them.
Okay. All right. And talk to me about that Germany versus South Korea game. Semi-final. Let's go into the semi-final now. You know, now, semi-final, Germany versus South Korea. Yeah. So how did Germany manage to beat South Korea where the other teams failed, where Spain failed, and Italy failed to beat them?
Again, it's the same thing I keep saying. It's just their mindset. Like, Germany just have that stay calm and do what you're supposed to do. South Korea had that. South Korea was like England. Fight, don't give up, fight to the end, passion. Germany stay calm. Yeah. And calmness beats passion. Like, people get too excited. You see in martial arts, for example, or UFC. If someone's too excited, they want to throw punch 100 miles per hour.
Mm.
And there's another one who's composed and relaxed and just jabs you, holds you, jabs you, holds you. Who's going to win?
Yes.
Yeah. The passion stuff. Look, another way of putting it is this way. Think of Zidane and think of Steven Gerrard.
Yes.
Zidane is calm. Gerrard is excited because up and down, tackles. Who's a better player?
Zidane.
And that's what it is with teams. Usually the calm one wins.
Yeah. Good analysis. Good analysis. I mean, I forgot to ask you this question, but let me just go back to the last round. Senegal.
Okay.
I mean, they went to the quarterfinal. You know, Henry Kamara scores a golden goal versus Sweden.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What excited you the most about them?
About Senegal?
Yeah.
I'm not superstitious. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. But I remember Pele said, by 2000, African team will win a World Cup.
Yes.
And that means 2002, really, because you can't be saying 98. And when I saw that, I was excited. But, well, maybe they can do it. Maybe. Because they had the togetherness. Never did. They believe they can do it.
Yeah. And
I want to see if they can actually do it.
Yeah. I mean, look, they played Turkey in the quarterfinals. They could have easily went to the semi-final.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they conceded a late goal in extra time. A golden goal in extra time, I believe.
Well, you see, with Turkey, it felt like they were on a mission. Like, I don't know what their story was. Italy, we know Italy. In Germany, we know the mentality.
Yeah.
Brazil, they wanted to make up. They had a mission to rewrite the wrongs of the last World Cup when they never got to win it.
Yeah.
Turkey felt like they were on a mission. Like, they wanted to win this. They weren't just here to participate.
100%.
100%. I don't know. What's the story? Who was their manager? What did this? What was it? Is it just a golden player coming to the bus?
It was that guy. The manager was the guy with the French guy with the long hair. Do you remember him?
French guy. Did he have glasses?
No, no glasses. He just had long hair.
Was he an ex-player or anything like that?
No, he wasn't an ex-player. He wasn't someone known. Like, he won a round. Yeah.
Maybe it's him then. Maybe it's him.
Yeah, he was a French manager with the long hair. I can't remember his name. Moving on. Brazilian Ronaldo.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about him. You know, I'm a fan. I've always said this in the podcast. I can actually have a podcast about Brazilian Ronaldo, every single unlimited episodes. Just unlimited episodes, you know.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, I can talk about him every day, all day, every day. So, he's injured. He comes to the World Cup. scores 8 goals in 6 yeah. games. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was on a mission.
Yeah.
So I think he scores in, he almost scores in every single round, I believe.
Every game except for the England game.
Every game in, except the England game, that's right. I mean, talk to me about him, man. Talk to me about the Brazilian side. It was very weak Brazilian side. I didn't expect them. I remember 2002, I did not expect Brazil to win. I actually lost hope in Brazil because of what happened in qualifiers, what happened in Copa America in 2001, where Colombia won that Copa America.
Yeah.
To serve my memory right, correct. So talk to me about Brazil. They were on a mission, weren't they? They were on their own mission. They were like the silent snipers.
Yeah. After what happened in 98, they had to end the 4 years in between. They just thought they had to do something, you know.
Yeah.
Scolari, you know, very serious manager, very serious man. And from the beginning, he showed what he's all about. Yeah. He didn't let Romario come no matter what he did because of his attitude. He actually omitted Jarmini because Jarmini headbutted his manager in training at Deportivo. And he's basically showing us that this is a serious team. Everyone's going to play for each other. We're going to work as a team. It's not about like outshining each other. It's going to be about functionality. And he proved it by going, I think it was 3-4-3. I believe it's 3-4-3 from the wrong. Lucio, one. Was he one? One. And then Wilson at the back. And these are three solid centre-backs. Roberto Carlos and Cafu doing their part, going up and down. I think it was Cleverson. In the beginning, with Gilberto doing his part as a number six, and Juninho Paulista. And other times, Cleverson, Ronaldinho and Ronaldo doing all the creativity, and Ronaldo getting the goal. So it was a functional team.
Nice.
And Ronaldo had to, and for that to work, functionality, Ronaldo has to score goals, and he did a lot.
You know what? Even though he wasn't 100% in that World Cup, Ronaldo, I think he was playing with one knee, to be honest.
Yeah.
The guy was absolutely, he was world class. He's not fully fit, but he's better than a lot of players that were playing at that World Cup.
It takes me back to a call from Rudy Völler, and I'm going to probably butcher it, but the best I can remember, he said something along the lines of this. If even half fit, he said, in the world, there are many great strikers. He mentioned Batistuta, Bergkamp, Owen, Kluivert, and all the strikers. He said, all of them know, even half fit, the best striker in the World Cup can only be Ronaldo. And everyone knows this.
That's right. 100%. 100%.
I mean, think about Ronaldo. He wasn't fully fit. And you know what Ronaldo said? Let me tell you something Ronaldo said. A lot of your listeners might not have heard this. Mm. But Ronaldo told, I think, Gavrilinic or someone, That tall punt in the quarterfinals against the semifinals against Turkey.
Yes,
he said the reason why he tall punted is because he was too injured to cover the ball or shoot power. Just think about that for a minute.
Wow!
That kind of goal came from necessity.
I mean, he got criticism from the English fans mainly. Like he tall punted it, and you know he tall punted the goal in against Turkey. But I mean, what's the big deal about that in England?
This is where England don't win much. This good Samaritan, goody two shoes attitude to football. Football is football. Just get a goal, score it.
I mean, I think English football was overhyped. I think the England team at that time, even they were overhyped. I mean, Sven was their manager at that time, but it's like they never. You know, every time they play against a big team in any major competition, they lose.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't. You know, England, I never rated England internationally, to be honest. And I think some of the players get found out when they play for the national team.
Yeah, because these English players, a lot of them are basically, they're good at what they are, and that's it. Yes. Like Lampard's only good at crashing the box and scoring. What else is he good at, really?
Nah, Lampard is a system player. I've said it many times.
And even like Beckham, who's the best cross I've ever seen. But if, let's say you keep crossing the ball, and your strikers ain't scoring, what's plan B for Beckham if you're a star player of the team? What's your plan B?
He's just set pieces. That's it.
Look at France. Zidane can do anything. Look at Portugal. Figo and Rui Costa can do anything.
Of course.
England's best player is a guy that can only do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That is a problem. Yeah. They don't have many skills, many tools.
They don't. And when they do find these players, they don't appreciate them enough. Ben Hoddle in his time. even Gascoigne, they appreciate it, but not the way they should have. Letizia as well. They don't. They should have
Foden. They don't appreciate Foden.
No, they didn't appreciate Gazza as much as should have. They did a bit. They didn't appreciate Matt Letizia that much. Joe Cole. They don't appreciate the ones when they do find these technical wizards. They don't appreciate them enough.
Yeah, any other nation, they would have built players around them. They would have built 100%. A team around them. Yeah, I mean, let's move on. I mean, semi-final. Yeah, you said he scored a top one. Now I want to talk about the final. Yeah.
Yep.
And man, I wonder how Ronaldo was feeling. Do you remember his haircut? Yeah. Do you remember why he did that haircut?
He did. He actually. I got answers to both questions. I heard him when he said to Gary Lineker, he said that before the World Cup, the reason why he did the haircut is people could stop talking about his injury.
Yes.
But the other reason, the other thing about what Ronaldo felt, Ronaldo said to Gary Lineker that I didn't want to sleep because in the last World Cup I slept and I started shaking.
Yeah.
So he said, I went around the camp and I found Dida.
Yeah.
And so you have lunch, then you sleep, like you get siesta for an hour or two. Yes. He didn't want to do that.
Of course.
He stayed up. He was too nervous.
Mm.
You can't blame him. Like, oh my God.
Yes. Man, okay, now let's move on to the final. World Cup 2002. I think it was at Yokohama Stadium in Japan.
Yes.
And it was Germany versus Brazil. Two teams that have great history. I mean, Germany from 1970 all the way to 1996, they won about two World Cups. And three European, three Euros.
Yeah.
Amazing. And probably seven finals, something like that. I mean, they were dominating. In terms of a European team, they were the best European team of the 20th century.
100%. 100%.
And, you know, those two teams, those two giants of a nation facing each other right now, man. I mean, talk to me about that game.
I was nervous as hell, really nervous, because the 98 World Cup, I had a lot of goals from that World Cup.
Yeah.
I didn't really get over it too much.
Mm.
I remember before the game, one thing that gave me a bit of hope was Balak was injured.
He wasn't injured, he was suspended.
Was he suspended or injured?
Yeah, he was suspended. He was suspended. Because he got a yellow card he got like two yellows in the knockout stages. He actually scored the winner against South Korea. But then he got suspended.
And that's what gave me hope, that the main guy's gone, okay, and they've already got injuries before the World Cup.
Yes.
But it's still Germany, and it's still the World Cup, and this Brazilian team, a lot of them have never won stuff. A lot of them, they're fairly new.
Yeah.
It's not the old heads of Dunga, Leonardo, Aldair.
Yeah.
I was nervous, to be honest with you. Obviously, it was a cagey affair, like most World Cup fans are going to be, no matter who it is. Then the main man steps up, shoots the Rivaldo takes a shot, if I remember correctly. I think Khan parries it out and Ronaldo like taps it in.
Yep.
And the second one, Cleverson gets the ball, I think. Passes it from the right, Ronaldo shimmies it, and Ronaldo stops to his right foot and then scores the second.
Yeah, I remember that.
And as soon as Ronaldo got, I swear, I ran around the house doing Ronaldo celebration. Lose my mind completely.
Wow, man. I remember that.
Static.
Man. I remember that, man. I mean, the guy deserved it. He deserved that, to be honest. There was no other player that I've been attached to in football like the way I had the attachment for Ronaldo. I remember Ronaldo, he was injured. He wasn't playing. You know, Inter Milan was struggling. I said, every time I used to watch an Inter Milan game at that time, I used to think, only if Ronaldo was playing, you know.
Yeah.
And him winning the World Cup, for me, that was a great success story, because after the injury, I don't think anyone had a better comeback than him.
I've never had anything like that in my life, any sport.
You know, he was in tears. Because he got subbed off after he scoring two goals. He was in tears after the final whistle.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the coaching staff came and hugged him. Don't worry.
Yeah, they hugged him. Don't worry. Yeah, I remember that time. And it was amazing, man. I mean, it was great to see him.
The celebrations after him and Rivaldo holding up the cup together.
Yeah.
Cafu, they hold him, they hoist them on top. I can still see this in my head to this day.
Yeah, man.
I'll never forget that one.
Yeah. You know what? You know the mad thing is? Holland didn't even qualify for the World Cup and they had a great team.
Yeah, that was actually one of the sad parts.
I remember. Because Dennis Bergkamp didn't play in the 2006 World Cup. He was retired by then.
Yeah, I think Euro 2000 was the end for him. I think, if I'm not wrong. I think he said it.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh, he didn't play in. He didn't play in the qualifiers, World Cup qualifiers, did he?
I don't think he did. No, I think he retired.
Yeah, man. I mean, any last words, simple gents, regarding the World Cup?
Last, just summary. World Cup 2002 started with the spotlight on three teams. The favourites, Argentina, who underperformed. We wanted to see if France were going to be the next Brazil of this age. They weren't, underperformed, which shows how important to them was. Brazil, we wanted to see, because a lot of people saw names we never heard of, and we were doubtful of Ronaldo. They proved us wrong, and Beckham got his redemption arc, and Ronaldo got the best redemption arc I've ever had in anything in my life.
Yeah.
There was four main players in the tournament. Kahn was given a golden ball as the best player. Ronaldo's a golden ball and as top scorer, but really it was the four standout players were Balak, Kahn, Ronaldo, and Rivaldo. I enjoyed the World Cup. It was a good World Cup. It wasn't the best, but it was a good World Cup. And that was the last World Cup of my secondary school year, so I've got a lot of fun memories in general.
Yeah, it was a lot of surprises.
Yep.
I mean, the way Spain got knocked out, the way Italy got knocked out, the way Portugal didn't make it past the group stages, Argentina went out of the group stages. It was actually a very unpredictable World Cup.
That's the right word, unpredictable, yeah.
Yeah, man. First of all, thank you for coming in, Simple Gents.
You're welcome. I've enjoyed it.
Some great football knowledge, man. I mean, you know, listeners, I get my football knowledge from Simple Gents. Who is that?
No, he's been modest, man.
No, I mean, I got. You taught me a lot about football back in the day. I remember we used to talk a lot about football. We shared a lot of information. I mean, I caught up. I learned a lot of 90s football from you, to be honest.
To be honest with me, you and Timo, we have the same views.
Yeah, we have similar views. Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, we see everything the same light.
Yeah. I hear that, man. I hear that. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, guys, and see you next time. I've been your host, Sana Stats, and thank you again, Simple Gents, for coming in to the podcast.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.